Jesus will say in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." As we began this year, we're focused on the Beatitudes, investing in the Beatitudes so that we can see as God sees, as God wants us to see. Because we all want to be the people that God wants us to be. And so there's an investment there. We know that there's a return, and that return is that we are, as Jesus would call it, blessed. That is the idea of a happiness. Now, as we stated early on, it's not a happiness that this world gives. It's not the happiness that is in the world, but it is a happiness from heaven. It is God's happiness. To have God's favor in our life is to be blessed, is to truly be happy. "Blessed are the poor in spirit," he began. He said, "for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We looked at humility, the heart that God desires. And then he says, "Blessed are those that mourn." And last week we talked about God and the sorrow that God is after. We have sorrow for sin that produces in us the proper response and reaction to God. And we have God's comfort. We have God's spiritual comfort. We have the knowledge of God and all that he has promised. And that the struggles of this life, the trials of this life, do not last forever. There is a day coming. There is a day coming when we will fully understand the comfort of God. And then today, it's meekness, right? The idea of blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And so we're going to ask the obvious questions, right, of what it is to be meek or meekness. And then what's this earth that they inherit? Really, you could translate it land as well. What is this land, or what is this earth that the meek inherit, and how do they inherit it? That's what we're going to look at. By the way, before we begin, your translation probably doesn't say meek. It probably says gentle, right? Same thing. If it doesn't say meek, it's the same word. Okay, so it's interchangeable, means the same thing. Blessed are the meek, or blessed are the gentle. But I'm going to use meek. What is meekness? I think one of the best definitions that I've heard is simply that meekness is a power and a strength that is brought under control. Now, it's not just any control, but it's God's control. To be controlled as God wants us to be controlled is to be gentle, is to be meek. Now, this idea is misunderstood in our society. Because when you look at our society, let's say if a person is not, as we say, just assertive, right? We use the word assertive. He's not assertive. He's not aggressive. She's not a strong person, doesn't have a strong presence. They're considered to be weak. We'll even say, but that person is spineless. They don't have a spine. Oftentimes, meekness and gentleness is construed as weakness, but it's not weakness. Meekness is not spineless. Meekness is not weakness. Matter of fact, in God's eyes, it is a strength, because God, in his very person, is gentle, in his very nature. Jesus, our example, was gentle. Boy, we can go back and see many examples, but remember the triumphal entry when he rode in on that donkey into Jerusalem. The king mounted on a donkey was gentle. Gentleness is a powerful, powerful word. It actually is strength. The way that I understand it, and it's really helped me, is to think about in the animal world. A powerful animal, think of a powerful animal in your mind that was wild at one time and has been brought under control. And here's one example for you, the best one that I know of, a horse. Kelly, my wife grew up with horses as a young teenager, and I know Carly likes horses. I like horses too, but I like a big fence between us. That is one, I have the utmost respect for that animal. Those of you who've been around them know, I mean, if you've been around them a lot, it's not a big deal. But if that horse decided, however it would do that, to turn on you, you're in trouble. That is a powerful, powerful animal. And I have a tremendous respect for that animal. Because I know that animal could trample me in a second. But it doesn't because it's meek. It is a power that has been broken down through trial and time to control. The very idea of our word meekness. You know, Aristotle defines this very word, the Greek word for meekness, the same word that Jesus would use as the means between two extremes. You got excessive anger on one side and you've got excessive passiveness. So you've got an outburst of anger, which isn't control at all. And then you have complete, or as Aristotle says, excessive passiveness, where nothing arouses you, no matter what it is. That's not meekness either. Do you get angry at injustice? Do you ever get angry at, I hope you sometimes in your life have been angry at your sin? Because if you haven't, I don't think you've reacted properly to that sin. Get angry at your sin. Now, we're to be angry. Paul will even reveal it. But don't sin. Be angry and sin not. We can be angry over injustice. If somebody's harmed right in your presence, you're not going to stand there. The Lord said that I need to be meek and gentle, so I'm not going to do anything. No, that's not meekness or gentleness. So as Aristotle would reveal, and I think there's truth to it, that is a means between two complete opposing extremes. Barnes and Barnes Notes would say this, and I want to share a few things from Barnes because I think it's very pertinent. He says, meekness is patience in the reception of injuries. You ever been injured? That's not a physical injury, right? That's being injured by somebody. It is neither meanness nor a surrender of our rights, nor cowardice. But it is the opposite of sudden anger. I need to listen very closely to what he said. It's the opposite of sudden anger, an outburst of anger, of malice, of long-harbored vengeance. You ever have the feeling of revenge or getting back at? Meekness is reception of injuries. You accept it with the belief that God is going to vindicate us. I take it. You take it. We take it sometimes from others. Why? Because we know that God is going to vindicate it. And in there we see the idea of meekness. He goes on, meekness produces peace. It is proof of true greatness of soul. You want to be a person of true greatness of soul. Comes with meekness. Comes from a heart too great to be moved by little insults. If you're always moved by little insults, you're not meek. It looks upon those who offer them with pity. He that is constantly ruffled, that suffers every little insult or injury to throw himself off his guard and to raise a storm of passion within, is at the mercy of every mortal that chooses to disturb him. He's like the troubled sea that cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. I'd like you to look at a couple of passages in the Bible, and just quickly, and I'll put them up here on the screen for you to just show you different ways in which gentleness or meekness is used. For example, Proverbs chapter 16, 32, you don't find the word gentle there, but notice what is implied. He says, he who is slow to anger, that's a controlled person. That's a meek person. Is better than the mighty. Solomon in his wisdom says he's better than the strong. Who is better than the strong? The meek, the slow to anger. And he who rules his spirit is better than he who captures cities. So there we see the strength. James, in his wisdom, chapter 3, verse 13 and verse 17, will show that this is the quality of the wisdom from above, or of God. The wise man shows his deeds in gentleness of wisdom. A wise woman, a wise man, when you see them carrying out their service or their deeds to others, you see the quality of gentleness of wisdom. Verse 17, James will say, the wisdom from above is gentle. It is peaceable. It is gentle. So the wisdom that God gives us is gentle. And Paul, when he would write to the Ephesians, right? And the way that we are to walk, by the way, that's character. Bible doesn't use the word character, but when they use the word walk, that's the idea, right? The quality, the character. This is the way in which we're to walk. This is our how our character is to be. He says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Paul says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing a fair forbearance to one another in love. So there it is, again, the idea of gentleness. And by the way, we're to give an account of the hope in us, right? You leave today and you go to your jobs. You go to school and somebody carries on a conversation with you about your hope. Why do you believe in Jesus? Why did you go to church yesterday? And you talk about it in your own words and why you believe in Jesus. And Peter reveals there that you are to do this with gentleness and reverence. That's how you're to respond about Jesus and your hope, is within the character of quality of gentleness and reverence or respect. Matter of fact, if we don't, then we're never going to win that person over to Jesus. So important, as you see, to have the quality of gentleness or meekness. James Toll would say, God does not do away with Christians' temper, but he puts it under his control so that it will not be a means of sin. So again, there is power under control. And again, as Paul said in Ephesians 4, 6, be angry and do not sin. So the meek is discerning. There's discernment. They've learned to discern in those moments and how to respond and how to react. So that's the meek, but what about the earth? The meek are going to inherit the earth. The meek are going to inherit the land. And I'm going to try to simplify this as best that I can. There's two thoughts and ideas usually that are presented on this. And one is just simply, literally, a physical inheritance, a physical idea or concept. Prosperity, land. That the meek, the quality of one who is meek, that they're going to receive more in this life. Now, there are some truth to that. I don't think that's specifically what Jesus was getting at. The next would obviously be inheriting the earth or land of a spiritual blessing. A spiritual concept or idea. You go back to the history of God's people, and I'm sure they did when Jesus was teaching. As he spoke about the meek inheriting the earth or the land, that they would go back and they would think of their family, their history. And they'd go back to Egypt in slavery when they left from the strong arm of Pharaoh and God released them. And they went into the wilderness where they were tested for 40 years. And finally they make it to the land of promise. But remember, it was a land. It was an inheritance that they were going to receive. Canaan, right? That's where they were going. A land of inheritance. But by the time Jesus comes along, right now as he's teaching, he's bringing in a whole new world, a whole new concept, a whole new idea. The kingdom. Been prophesied all along, but it was misunderstood clearly. But here he is, and he's teaching about the kingdom and about the spiritual reality and blessing that would be theirs if they're meek. The heavenly land promise. There are many scriptures, by the way, that indicate that the gentle do benefit in this life, that good things can come from being gentle. But let me, for a moment, share one more quote from Albert Barnes, who said, "It is probable that there is a reference to the manner in which the Jews commonly express themselves to denote any great blessing. It was promised to them that they should inherit the land of Canaan. In the time of our Savior, when they were in the constant habit of using the Old Testament, where this promise perpetually occurs, and they used it as a proverbial expression to denote any great blessing. Our Savior used it in the sense and meant to say not that the meek would own great property or have many lands, but they would possess a peculiar blessing. The Jews also considered the land of Canaan as a type of heaven, don't forget that, and of the blessing under the Messiah. And so thus our song, right? To Canaan's land I'm on my way, right? We know the rest, where the soul of man never dies. And who's going to inherit that land? The meek. The gentle. But I think there is a blessing in life too, right? When Paul was talking about pursuing godliness, remember when he was talking to the young preacher Timothy? And he talked about bodily discipline. Weeks ago we looked at it. As he said, it was a little profit, but he said godliness is profitable for what? He said all things, and it holds value and promise for something. For this life, and for the life to come. I submit to you that you cannot be growing in godliness without meekness and gentleness. Gentleness is part of godliness. And so that's part of the benefit of being a gentle person in life. There is promise in this life. Good things can come our way. There's many passages. Psalm 24:1 speaks of the earth as being the Lord's, and all that it contains is His. The world and all that dwell in it, right? And we're part of that. What is God's is ours. We inherit whatever is His, and whatever will be, what is all that is His. Toll would say, we may not legally own a square inch of land, but we recognize that the entire earth is Jehovah's, and that all its beauty and all its grandeur is ours to enjoy. The beauty of life, the beauty of this earth. Blessed are the gentle or the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek or the gentle, blessed by God. God's favor, God's happiness is for the meek. Now you're probably saying, so what do I do with this? You've said all that, Kurt, you know. What do I do with this? What? How can I practically deal with gentleness? Where do I take gentleness? I don't have all the answers to that, but I can quickly give you three things that I think can help us. And it has to do with our reaction to people. It has to do with the emotions that are stirred up within us on a daily basis and how we respond in those moments. So here's one real quick. First of all, we first need to be aware of those moments. We have to be aware of emotion in our life. We have to be aware when that emotion is aroused. And we have to be in that moment and we have to think about it. We cannot ignore it. God made you and I an emotional being. Emotions are good. Now, there are some that aren't. That's where the control comes. But God made us emotional beings. And we got to try in that moment to be aware of those emotions. And then in those emotions and in those moments, we have to slow our reaction. We have to slow down. A lot of times this has to do in moments in which we're angry and upset with somebody. How are we to react? I say we should learn to slow down in every way, including the way we speak. What happens when we accelerate? What happens when we get angry in our response? If we don't slow down, typically in the situation, it'll blow up. It'll only escalate. It'll only get worse. That's not the response of someone who is gentle, of a person, of a Christian who is gentle. So we need to slow down our response under high emotional moments. And finally, we have to care. And sometimes in those moments, it's very hard for us to care at all. I just don't care. I detach myself from it. I'm not concerned about the outcome of it. I don't care about peace anymore. I don't care what it does for this person's relationship with God, possibly down the road. I'm going to react the way I want to react. But we have to care. In those moments when we're going to be aroused to anger, we have to care enough to keep our hearts open, to desire peace, to desire a godly, peaceful outcome in that moment. Sometimes there can't be from someone else's side, but from your side, there can be. We have to be at peace with all men as much as it is possible, as much as we can. So there are some practical things, and I encourage you to take that with you. Blessed are the meek, the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. They will be blessed by God. Heaven's happiness. If we can encourage you today to follow Jesus. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're not following Jesus and you're ready to follow him. You want to become a Christian, be born of water and spirit. And following Jesus in your life. The invitation is yours. This is the time that we open the door for you to come forward. If you need prayers, maybe your heart is heavy. I know there's some heavy hearts here today. Every Sunday there's heavy hearts. There's struggles, there's anxieties, there's fears, there's worry. There's many struggles. And if we can pray for you in those things and matters, we want to do that. The invitation is yours. Let's stand. Tyler's going to lead us, and will you come forward? Stand up for Jesus.